Good evening, everybody.
Hello, we are coming from the moon, so we're actually not late.
Yes,
you're just witnessing the delay.
I'm afraid we got stuck in time dilation.
Live from the moon!
Yeah, the Overton window shifted so quickly it caused time dilation, and that's how we ended up in the political future.
And we're on the moon, and there's totally no Nazi reptiles here, we promise.
No Nazi reptiles.
Hemlo, yes.
The weather report is it was really hot and now it is chucking it down.
Yes.
But don't worry, after a bit of weirdness, the release of a book, and also there was a song, I put that out this morning. But apart from that, yes, we've been doing things. Hello.
Yes, we have been quite busy.
Yes, we make books and music now.
Yes. I don't know what people are expecting from us on stream anymore. We don't know how to do this. We just write books and make music. But most importantly, if you haven't already,
yes,
you should buy book.
Yes.
Have you considered
buying
book?
We've left the Lizzo Rocket because the Lizzo Rocket's funny as hell.
But the thing is, once you have bought book,
yes,
you must also post book. And then really, if you're actually a pretty serious person, you might also considering reading book.
Yes. I'd say it's probably the last thing you should do.
Chief reading book.
Me no knowledge, because me chief reading book.
But yes.
Thank you again to the people at Whifflings.
I suppose I've not really said anything on this, specifically on the stream myself. I know you did a little video thing about it. But yes, thank you very much to the Whifflings people and everybody that has already bought book. Have you considered buying another book, just in case?
Yes.
Maybe you need two, you know.
We were also on the Delling pod.
Yes.
We shared that on Telegram, but we'll share that again when it becomes more public, because it's currently only subscriber only there. But it does come out publicly probably in a couple of weeks. So there's that as well. So some exciting shilling. But yes, we did actually write a book. So yes, do indeed buy a book. But we're having a less kind of source heavy stream today, really.
Yeah, I think it's we've not really broached, I think, many sort of new topics in a little while.
Yes.
And we've had a bit of a lull because we've been busy doing basically everything else, and life and other things does get in the way at times.
Yes.
Cool. But before we do crack on, I will say thank you to the people who are members of the channel, or people who are subscribers to the Substack, or the people that give us super chats, or if you wish, you can also give us money via the Ko-Fi thing that's been linked in the chat. Or you can buy book, which, to be fair, I like book. I think book, and part of book, is the fact that you can buy book and support us, and you also get book.
Yes, and we're willing to give back, but also get stuff.
Yes.
But no, we wanted to do a bit of first principle stuff. We've had a bit of growth on the channel. We talked about stuff rather... Let's get off the shot. And a lot of you have absorbed our framework partially by osmosis, but we do basically live in a different political dimension than most people do.
Yes.
We do live in a different political frame than most people do. It's kind of amongst the people who know what we are, what we're famous for. Or known for being annoying for, I suppose, because it's like, no, actually, it's this. But a lot of people think we're just axe-thrilling, but it's very important that you understand that certain things are true.
But yes, please feast your eyes on our lovely blackboard.
Yes.
Stop slouching at the back, you, and you better not be chewing gum either.
Attention in the class. Yes, exactly.
See, I've had to clip my fingernail, so I can't even do the tapping. It's awful.
Where we need to go through stuff that basically everyone outside of our little world gets wrong.
Yes, and even some people, I think, inside our little world don't take to the full conclusion.
Yes.
And
these principles are not true most of the time. They are true all of the time.
Yes.
And there are no exceptions really to them.
No, and those exceptions that do exist are the sort of thing that are discussed in such a specific circumstance that they wouldn't... You know, the rule is just one thing. The exception is everything.
The only exception is if you are actually the exception.
Mm.
If you are actually in power, this doesn't apply to you.
No.
But if you are not actually in power, if you are not completely at the top of the power structure, if you do not live insulated from the rest of Britain, effectively putting out orders, then all of this does apply.
Yes. And I think we might as well start from the top, quite literally.
Yes. We'll start from the top. Our first principle here is the fact that everything, and we mean everything, especially in politics, but most of outside of politics too, All endeavors of human organization are inherently top-down.
Yes.
Because of the division of labor. Because somebody has to set what is being done, and other people have to do it for things to get done.
And it is also just man's natural instinct. And the vast majority of people, no matter how much they choose to deny it, to obey. It is just, they follow orders. And I think it was a point we ended up discussing a little bit with Dellingpole the other day, where we were sort of talking about, where he was trying to sort of maybe generalise a sort of idea of tyranny and why we should be against tyranny. And I didn't quite get to make the point fully, but I think the problem is nowadays, it's not that people dislike tyranny, it's that there's so little of it in their life that the abject meaningless they feel on a day-to-day basis, they have confused it for being under some sort of order. It's actually that there is no tyranny, that you are in a mood with tyranny.
Oh, well, the first thing that we've done this to death, but the first thing I want to bring up really is the Overton Window Isn't Real stream that we did. That has a lot of this in it, but you have to understand that because everything is top-down, every political heuristic that you know, every political rule, every little political idiom that you know that relies on things functioning bottom-up isn't true.
Or the power of the individual, yeah. or any such nonsense like that.
Or if it is partially true, then the framing around it isn't true.
Yes.
That's generally what we get here. But you must understand that the outgrowth of the fact that... Oh, that's the wrong one. The fact that everything is top-down, we'll get to that one, is that democracy can't function.
No, and the idea of consensus-based decision-making is a fugazi. And if you happen to bought a copy of Anti-Politics Volume 1, The Elite.
Yes.
You may have read some of the mantras already, and one that I am actually... I actually think about more now that I've written it than I did at the time, is he who says cooperation says hierarchy.
Yes.
There is no such thing as cooperation as a natural state of man. Cooperation comes very, very, very far down the line once lots of other people have set up very distinctly hierarchical relationships.
Yes.
And I think the fact that many people think that they are cooperating with their peers in democracy or being part of a movement, it's really like saying you're cooperating as one of the victims in a gang rape.
Yes. But again, we don't try and convince people of too many of these, like, democracy. We don't try and convince people democracy isn't real anymore. What we do is we use it as a principle.
Mm.
It's democracy isn't real. Now what? We did all the longhand working for the outgrowth of democracy in history during our democratization series, like, 4 years ago.
Yes.
And I think that most people can see that, well, if everything's top-down, that means that bottom-up choosing of your leaders just won't work. But it's not that democracy doesn't work. You don't have to explain that to people. It's that everything is top down.
Yes.
It's downstream from it. All these things are downstream from it. So if your first principle is that everything is top down, then, well, the people, in quotes, will never rise up.
Yeah.
How can people from the bottom rise up?
Because they have to be Middle Eastern and have access to Facebook. And because they have access to, like, Facebook and Google and Blue Jeans, they decide, we can't live in a Muslim theocracy anymore. We've got to be free-thinking people that, like, have democracy and stuff.
We need the democracy. We have to have the democracy, or else country doesn't reel. But a lot of people will agree with you. They will say, oh, yes, of course power functions top-down. And then they will not apply the outgrowth of that. Oh. What you need to do is, with the first principles, is this applies everywhere, especially in politics. Like, keep calm, remembering our training. That's why we say that.
Well, I would put it this way. Some folk would turn and go, well, I'm not an individual. I am part of some sort of loosely organised group of people, and we are actually attempting to make our own propaganda. Yeah, that might be fair enough. You might be your little organised minority. Your little organised minority does not exist in a vacuum.
No.
And you will find, more often than not, that the only time your little minority is relevant is because you're asking for something that the minority that's properly in charge already wants.
Yes. We express it this way. democracy. Bottom up?
No. Top down.
And that's the easy way to remember it. It's like, bottom up? No. top down.
Yep.
And if you think you're falling into bottom up thinking, just have a little word with yourself.
Yeah.
And think, no, wait a minute. Power functions top down.
But I think this is a liberating thing as well.
Yes.
Before we get to the last element of this here, I think culturally.
Yes.
We know the vast majority of things produced day to day in Western culture is abject slop. And people don't really like slop.
People don't like
people
slop.
People put up with slop because slop is what's given to them and they do not know any better.
No.
And they are told, you must consume this slop. You might not have to like it, got to consume it. So lo and behold, jazz music, hip-hop, crap movies, it's all there and it's top down.
Yes, you have to apply this to culture as well. A lot of people won't understand that they are choosing from a pre-selected set of options.
Mm.
They're doing it politically, they're doing it culturally, they're doing it economically. You know, there's no such thing as a job market. You are not an emergent part of a free market of jobs. Basically, you are railroaded by whatever regulations your managerial society has into a certain set of roles.
We have adapted the choice environment, or streamlined the choice environment. Please pray that we do not streamline it further.
Well, another thing to understand is the people inside the machine know it works top down.
Yeah.
That's what the nudge unit, if you go and look at our stuff on nudges and nudge theory and behavioral economics and things like that, it shows you that the people in power are not idiots. They're not naive, they're not wide-eyed, and they're not ideological. They know that we're speaking the truth. The power of the truth isn't real. The truth in of itself has no power.
Power speaks to truth.
Yes,
truth
does not speak to power.
And that is fundamentally why recognizing...
Because everything's top down.
And if you recognize that everything's top down, you avoid becoming the thin end or wedge.
Well, here's something, I think this is the best way to illustrate it. I didn't want to put axes on like I'm doing a stupid chart, but really, one is time and one is political energy. As political energy of an idea increases... Over time, the chances of those in power adding their own end of the wedge increases.
Yes.
Because you're pushing, as an individual or a small group of individuals, even if you're organised, you're scratching around and you're pushing to create all this political energy.
I would actually maybe go one step further.
Yeah.
And that it's not so much that the post hoc answer to immigration of out of control is digital ID. It's rather... Digital ID has always been there, and it's wanting for a thin end.
Yes, it is. And the you don't understand, people, sorry.
Impute this backwards in a way, really.
Yes. What is not understood is that the framing of events is the elite's power. They don't go out and create anti-immigration movements.
No, because they don't have to.
They will foment them in a way that is controlled.
Mm.
They will capture them, but they don't have to. They generally like to latch onto something that has already created the thin end of a wedge.
Mm.
Like, I remember at one point they tried to do the whole, ooh, you can't kill the badgers thing. And they were just butting on their own little managerial end to a, ooh, eco-badgers wedge. It's as stupid and low kind of as that. It's as low level as that. But when you create political energy... What you're doing is you're agitating people without anything to do with them.
Yes.
So people in power are ultimately the ones who set the quote-unquote answers to the problems you're describing. And so we try and make the problem we describe them.
Yes.
They can't come up with an answer for themselves. It's not their policies. It's not their ideology. It is them who is the problem.
And this is why you can use phrases like consent manufacturing.
Yes.
Because... what you are, as the thin end of the wedge, is the small, possibly rightfully organic piece that is needed to give the consensus they want you to come to some legitimacy, some energy. You know, that's what brings people into it, is that they all get hoorah, hoorah angry about something, and something must be done about it. But if you're the person agitating people... but you do not have the something that has to be done as a consequence of the agitation, then someone else will provide it.
Yes.
Otherwise, in cases where it wasn't just there already.
I'll put this up again because it makes me laugh. But that's the idea we're trying to get across. And it doesn't have to be conspiratorial. I mean, To give an example of someone that we know and collaborate with, AA had this done to him slightly when he did the whole zero seats thing.
Mm.
And Nigel Farage turned around and went, "Zero seats, aren't I cool?" Some of it is about jacking political cool. They are very difficult at creating initial political energy. The regime is very difficult at creating these initial pushes. And so it's much easier to hijack other people's pushes. That's how the political energy judo works. And again, if you think you can quote unquote do something by red pilling the normies, all you're doing is acting.
You're creating thin ends for someone else who's got the rest of the wedge.
Yes. The focus should be on them.
Mm.
They are the problem. It is not what they do that is the problem. It is who they are. But, I don't know, should we get to the second one here?
Yes, of course we'll carry on. Another fundamental point that you must recognise, and I think we've not quite got the snappiest way to describe this. We might come up with something a little bit better in the future. But the general idea that your enemy's ideas are not poison.
Yes.
And maybe even more so, your enemy is also not just his ideas.
No, there is this... The other conception of this is that your enemy's ideas aren't the problem. Your enemy can have good ideas. You can have a savvy enemy. You can have an intelligent enemy. The problem with your enemy's ideas is it's your enemy having them.
Oh, well, yes, and what I've said here is, do not let your tactics and strategies be dictated to you by people with overtly partisan or even worse, kayfabe justifications. So someone turns around and tells you, well, you can't think that idea because that's what smelly lefty communists think and they're all evil totalitarians.
Yeah.
Do not listen to that person, because that person isn't telling you that you're wrong. They're telling you that, well, actually, I just don't like your methods.
Yes.
And what they're really saying when they don't like your methods is either this person is so naive that they can't work out how politics works themselves, or they aren't interested in you having the winning hand.
Even people who are supposed to be quote-unquote thought leaders will go, oh, well, that sounds like a bit of a leftist idea. That seems like a bit of a Marxist framing. And that is complete bollocks. A lot of our opposition's framing is much truer than the quote-unquote conservative framing. It's just that they come up with deliberately, like, mentally spasticated answers to it.
Well, I mean,
power exists, therefore we should all be universalists.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
But whereas leftist ideas, particularly ones that you could refer to as more insurgent,
yes,
subsets of ideas that give you powerful rhetoric and allows you to basically openly accuse your enemy of conspiring against you in a concerted effort as a class of one against another.
Yes.
And this really is a method that you can apply to anything. The problem is that so much of what's conservative or right-of-centre politics has been pre-framed in a way that goes, ooh, but we don't do class war. It's a bit,
yes,
nasty.
Conservatives were taught wrong as a joke.
Mm.
And leftists were also taught wrong as a joke.
Yes.
And we've talked about the fact that between the two quote-unquote sides, the political truth is distributed quite evenly. But the other side goes, oh, well, I can't adopt those things. That's stinky and right-wing. I can't adopt those things. That's stinky and left-wing. And the vast majority of people fall into this. The vast majority of people, to the point that we feel we have to address it over here in our little corner. Because, no, you idiot, Marxist ideas aren't evil. Marxists are evil.
Well,
and their ideas are mostly just waffle to get away with their evil.
And the thing as well is what they teach you is to gatekeep.
Yes.
It's to purity spiral.
Yes.
It's to find an element of your ideology that you can make look rhetorically important, hyper-focus onto it, and use it to excise dead weight from your movement.
Yes.
No, you can't get rid of useless people. That's going to let you to win, and that's bad again. I mean, what? How would you actually survive as a political faction for any length of time if you weren't actively gatekeeping over purity issues continuously? It's almost like communist movements lasted for a legacy because they did exactly this.
Yes, they did. I don't know, we've got a quick example I'll get to in a sec, because I want to just find the first little start of this, or at least one of the other little bit. Ah, there it is. Another little bit there. But we are very suspicious of people who appear out of nowhere.
You want the third lower third as well for the overlay.
Oh, I know. I was about to. I was just introing this. Sorry. Yes, I'll get this up here. But to be fair, it's probably better to get this up because they're kind of scattered along the other way.
A certain gentleman whose name I will not repeat, who does look like he may or may not hang outside the Turkish barbers down the road, has gone and told us that we don't gatekeep. And because we don't gatekeep, that's why we're all smelly, stinky hobbits and we'll never get anywhere because we're low status. However, there is a great irony in that off the back of this individual making his point, he's identified two things that you're not allowed to gate people because you think they may be working for the Steel Network, because that's nasty and anti-Semitic and wrong.
Yes.
And that further, as a consequence of him showing his opinions, we have all collectively turned round and decided to gatekeep him out. Oh, the irony.
Congratulations, you've been gatekept. Thank you to Johnny Deerfist, before I go on, for becoming a member of the channel. And thank you to Coney Current Year. He says, this stream is after-school detention for people who voted and thought Trump was going to drain the swamp. Kind of. You guys don't... We're not giving you detention, we're giving you a refresher. A lot of you guys are good with this.
This is like a study group.
And you can prove that you've been listening and learning by replying in the comments with either Al Gore's rhythm or your deep love for the nation of Israel. We know this stream is protected by our commitment to the only democracy in the Middle East.
We may be on the moon, but you could not believe how many books we have sent to Tel Aviv. Speaking of which, not that I'm suggesting he's from Tel Aviv, but Steam Plague Man, whatever, is also given as a fiver. He says, bought book, need to read book, need whiskey with book. Thank you too so much. You're very welcome.
You're very, very welcome. We appreciate the kind words, and a lot of people have been saying they've been receiving book. But Stick to Being a Hobbit is from here.
Which is, yes, one dark elf in chief himself, one Curtis Yarvin.
For those, the thing is, this is like 10 layers of like inside baseball right-wing insult or right-wing framing. We're 10 layers deep here, I'm afraid. But it rather puts me in mind of Curtis Yarvin's piece about dark elves and hobbits. Again, the other problem with this is we all know what Curtis Yarvin meant when he said that, and that is considered basically his worst piece of writing ever, because he was basically saying, I'm a West Coast Jew, it's my job to do politics, you're a stinky English hobbit, you should let Jews do politics for you.
Yeah.
That was what the article was saying, and that's what this seems to be saying as well.
Yes. And I have much else to add on this specific subject, because really I think it's mostly a little bit of Twitter drama, and what's happened is someone that a lot of people inherently distrusted gave everyone an excuse to distrust him even further.
Well, he the reason people are mad is he decided to get angry at the basket weavers for being attacked by the security state. He leaves out of this the fact that Harry Shuckman couldn't be gatekept out like he's asking for because he was carrying a Home Office issued fake passport. Well, fake real passport. He was actually given spy gear to go in on behalf of Hope Not Hate and bust up pub meetings of our friends.
But that's...
How can you gatekeep if the government is going to send spies with fake documents they have produced to spy on you simply going to the pub? Mm. We can't even go to the pub without spies showing up with security services documents. And apparently, that's our fault. That's our fault.
What I find so interesting as well, yes, that's the bit I was about to read, is that when Mr. Connersdale is then speaking about gatekeeping, I think we can begin to possibly understand where his impetus to gatekeep comes from. Anybody who has any success in our little corner of Twitter, specifically organic success... soon faces accusations that they are, in fact, paid agents of someone or other. They couldn't simply be enjoying organic success on the basis of their ideas or personality or both. To be fair, the Turkish barber guy up the street's an alright one. Oh no! They have to be bought and paid. The paymaster is usually Peter Thiel, or it's the Bedouin, or Mossad, and Israel. Although, they're all connected in the end, apparently.
Well... of course, Palantir is connected to Israel, you idiot.
It's the only thing he's not mentioned here, isn't it?
Yeah. How can you say that Peter Thiel is not connected to Mossad and Israel when he created Palantir, which is partially derived from Jewish spyware? Do people want to go and look up the amount of spyware that Israel produces?
I would like to mention as well, as one of the basket weavers has put in the chat,
yeah,
Mr. Shukman was actually gatekept from the basket weavers at one point.
Yes.
And only chose to write his book after the fact.
Yes.
And it was only after the fact that it became apparent that he had got this Home Office passport. So really what had happened was the guy that had caused the problem, who was seen as suspicious by quite a number of people, I presume, yeah, for that to happen,
was told to go away.
Yeah, and was banned.
And to be fair, he made himself more difficult to detect, though, because, like, well, okay, what are we supposed to do when the security state just comes at you? What are you supposed to do when the actual spies show up? When you're just going to the pub? Mm. It's ridiculous. I found this whole thing completely... It's also just very defensive and incredibly ironic. But we should probably move on from this.
Yes. What I would actually like to briefly mention, I think we've got the images elsewhere. If we go back
to what I wanted to quickly mention, actually, is that in terms of the top-down stuff, a quick reminder of that is the fact that today we've had a report that thousands of Afghans were moved to the UK in a secret scheme.
This secret scheme, ARPA or whatever it's called, yes, or ARP, which has people like Robert Jenrick vote on it, who are these same people that tell you they're going to create all these tough measures.
Yes.
It's almost like when we covered the original, you know, performative failure stuff with Rishi Sunak, that this was the model that was going to be followed, that they were going to talk tough, but continue to create legislation in the background that allowed for more legal routes.
19,000 Afghans were secretly brought to the UK, and this was it was illegal to report because of a super injunction, which stood for 2 years.
Yep.
This happened in 2023, and the High Court says that it was illegal to tell people that 20,000 Afghans had been brought here en masse from a war zone. This is just a lot of people, the process, democracy, they'll haggle with the boxcar door. They are in power, and they can do what they want. They can secretly bring 20,000 people here and use the courts to make it so that you can't say it, even if you find out.
Why?
You are subject to power, and you can only really make the decision of, okay, do I owe my loyalty to these elites? Am I going to participate in the political process? Because this is what participating in the political process looks like.
Yep.
You are talking about the Overton window, and the UK government is bringing in 20,000 Afghanis from a war zone, and then they are gagging you via the courts.
Mm.
So...
Free and liberal.
We'll keep going with this one, though.
I think they're both at the top here.
Yes.
I took to doing this whole synthesizing of left and right ideas many, many moons ago.
Yes, you did.
People that have engaged with our stuff for a long enough time will remember the fun that was Hoppe and Leninism and whatnot.
Yes.
And I don't really have a major description for it at the moment because it doesn't really feel as relevant as it did back then. But it did seem to have some effect in that I basically took hundreds of people who were otherwise libertarians but didn't know what to do with the quote-unquote ideology and turn it into something and said, look, have you read Lenin?
Yeah.
So here's all your Hoppe and sort of social theory and here's how you give it teeth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can remember saying to David Gordon at Mises years ago about this specifically, that I love the picture that Hans Hermann Hoppe paints. My only problem is, how do you get the canvas into your hands?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, well, and you wrote, obviously, which is in the book, it's in Anthropologist Volume 1, which is NAP, not applicable to politics.
Yes.
Which is basically the framework of this. It's like, well, what if a maximalist position, but also, what if revolutionary libertarianism, what then? And people went, ew, icky, weird, you can't do that.
It wasn't even necessarily a question of being sort of wholehearted sort of revolutionaries. More so it gave people a way to talk about it that sounded impactful.
Yes.
They didn't sound like philosophers anymore. They sounded like people that were working for a propaganda bureau. And that's what you want.
And that's why we do this stuff. We do like the fake, we love our fake Maoist propaganda.
Oh, yes.
Just but because.
There is really a point to be understood here. And it's a point of absolutism. where leftists rule and we don't really, because they've got this down pat. It's not that your enemy's ideas are bad. He is bad.
Yes.
It's not about what they think. It's about what they are.
Yes. You are not engaging in a free exchange of ideas. Your enemy is not tainted by what he thinks. He's animated by his animus towards you.
Yes.
And he will use every tool at his disposal. And if you go, well, my enemy's using those tools, I can't use them, you're going to be destroyed.
There is no such thing, I suppose. I mean, I am no fan of technology, but in the realms of political combat, there is no such thing as evil tools. There are only tools.
Yes. Or, you know, you'll either use all the tools or you'll be made a tool.
It's videos of guys in pubs getting a bit pissed and it's all private and you pay for it and it's called only.
Yeah, Ethan, hello, friends, in my computer box. Do you have time to let us know your thoughts about Restore Britain?
I would give that some time and we might get back to you when we see more of what that's meant to be.
We don't even know what it is. It's not been explained to us properly yet.
What it seems to be is a conglomeration of polling and lobbying, which isn't really revolutionary in any sense. However, if there's got the right people behind it, and they are well-intended, then maybe they can create some sort of little space for people like us to be more, dare I say, effectively engaged with the system, which is very hard to do, which is why we don't advocate for it. But maybe this will open some opportunities up. We will. I think we have to wait and see.
Yeah, like I said, I just don't quite get what they're trying to do in totality.
And that's
most of my interaction with initiatives on the right is they seem very well-meaning. The people in them seem very nice. But, well, I'm sorry, but I'll come back when there's something here.
Yes.
Really?
And I think this gets to part of what is our next point. That this isn't a lifestyle. I know we seem like people who spend a lot of time doing this and being engaged with it and whatnot. And to be fair, we do. But I think we're cognizant of the fact that it's, as I've got here, it's not meant to be funny.
No.
It's not meant to make you feel good. It's definitely not going to be easy, and it certainly isn't church. What we are doing here is we are considering serious, serious things. The fact that you get to the point whereby you're considering what resources and manoeuvres you might need to make to overcome or succeed the current regime that we live under, that is a risky undertaking.
Yes.
It's not just something you do for fun. You know, you don't just satirise this sort of want to get rid of the current state and ad infinitum, because at some point you basically destroy the whole purpose of what you're trying to do.
There's a lot of this, though. A lot of people retreat into the quote-unquote based online world to live their based online LARP.
Yes, and as I've mentioned here, cottagecore, Dickensian LARPers, and hippies need not apply. That's what you want to do, because that's your thing. Great. Go and knock yourself out. But you need to recognise that what you do in building a vanguard and building an opposition and being something that is different from what the rest of quote-unquote mainstream politics is, that does believe in bottom-up, that does believe its enemy's ideas are the problem, not the enemy itself.
Yes.
It can't conform to this idea of an aesthetic or a lifestyle or even necessarily a character type, and that's ultimately why, despite however many people dislike it, there are people like us involved in this. Because we really exist in a weird enough space where, yes, we have lives outside of this, but we have sort of been willing in the last few years to make quite a serious commitment in regards to time and previously when we were doing events, our own money.
Yes.
And making sure something comes of this, even if that is only the basic preservation of some small organisation that carries on being British after we are gone.
Like, I'm sorry, but like wearing a tradwife dress in quotes and baking cookies isn't doing something.
It's a lot of fun posting it on Twitter, I'm sure, but
yeah.
And I don't mind it. I think a lot of times it's
that's
harmless.
Fine, but
you cannot have
that is not activism.
You cannot have the confluence of the two.
No.
There needs to be a recognised segment between one and the other. Now, maybe, to give him his credit, Mr. Charles Cornsdale, maybe this is his issue, is that he wants it to be a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And he wants to be a lifestyle blogger that's into healthy stuff and kind of cool tech and don't we love these charisma-full like leaders and stuff. Yeah, cool, go and do that. But then don't come to us and say you can't gatekeep when the fact has already become apparent that you have been gatekept out because you have been recognised as someone who's very non-serious.
Yes, it's also just, it's the same thing that as people be edgy online, and then when they feel they've got their little piece of things, they turn around and go, calm down, guys, I've got to keep my job, yeah. And I've got to write for The Spectator, and the LARP ends. The LARP only goes as far as their personal, you know, well-being and enrichment does. And suddenly, you're not retweeting funny Nazi memes on Twitter. You're like, oh, well, a few people got caught in Primate doing Romans a few years ago, so you guys are terrible, from some edgy online poster. And that's what you always get. You always get people who are completely lacking in decorum and seriousness, who will be given a sniff of something, and they will immediately turn around and become the world's most boring, whiny neocon.
I think it's this. It's that there are three things that people are doing. There is a small number of people that are being genuinely political with the intent and scope up with a serious plan to actually make change, or at least preserve what is required for some sort of change or restoration in the future. There are people who want to live a good life.
Yes.
And then there is a third group of people who want to have a cool lifestyle. These three things are very distinctly different from one another.
You would
be best achieving one of these by sometimes disregarding the other two. Yes. I don't think you can be a truly effective political actor, also be a good person living a good life, whilst also having some sort of aesthetic and appreciable lifestyle. I think you've got to at least drop one of these, if not two, for...
Yeah, if you're genuinely committed to change, your lifestyle is going to suffer.
Mm.
And so are you.
But if you're genuinely committed to being a good person and being good to your peers and not being a Machiavellian, you can't be political.
No.
And if you're worried about aesthetics and subjective things, some of which, if it's art and whatever else, is quite important. And that's not me just saying, oh, art's a lifestyle, disregard it. No, not at all. What I'm trying to say is that it's fundamentally different from acting in a political manner.
It's also just a lot of people take issue with our quote-unquote lifestyle because they think this is a lifestyle movement.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
You're not conforming to my lifestyle. It's like, well, okay, but...
You're not conforming to my politics.
Yeah, no, power politics about removing the current ontologically evil elite is not a lifestyle. People don't fit into a neat frame with it. And that's the problem, that you have people who are being performatively quote-unquote right-wing. And part of it is, oh, I'm rejecting all these icky, illiberal and unserious ideas, and I'm doing something real, and I'm fixing up with real people who can really get something done in Westminster, and you guys just don't have any solutions, and you guys need to get in line and vote behind us.
Mm.
And it's just all that. It's just like, well, okay, but this isn't about defending your lifestyle.
Yeah.
This isn't about you having a quote-unquote right-wing lifestyle. Based World is not being a vitalist, or it's not LARPing as a trad wife. It's not LARPing as some kind of medieval Christian crusader.
Based World comes as the consequence of blood, sweat, tears, suffering, and people who are just abject sort of cathartics for the time being. Because again, as we pointed out with the leftist ideas, you've got to recognise that you're an insurgent movement.
Yes.
You know, that's putting you... You painted a target on your back. Don't do that just because you think it's fun.
No, oh, guys, we're in Hope Not Hate, and you're going to ruin my book deal, and you're going to ruin my Spectator people who say, look, I'm a Nazi, and I've got to infiltrate, and I've got to keep my base under the wraps, and you guys are making that harder. Good Lord, people. Like, again, this also isn't like a career.
No.
It's not a lifestyle. It certainly isn't a career. You are going to suffer materially for your beliefs.
I mean,
because you believe something diametrically opposed to what those in power believe.
Politics isn't a career to politicians. It's something that they have been saddled with that they cannot escape from.
Yes.
I mean, that is how you are a ruling minority. You don't do it because you want to. You do it because you have to.
Yes.
But
enough of the lifestyle stuff. But this is another point that we've made a lot.
And I saw someone right at the start of the stream suggest that if this is one of the principles, I'm very glad to hear it. And it's, I think we're along the exact same lines of him. You are under no obligations whatsoever.
Yes.
Because in power and politics, everything is top down. Then only those who actively have crafted modernity are responsible for it. You are not. For the individual, politics isn't quite yet a question of life or death. However, as a group, considering ourselves as native Britons, it is.
Yes.
Disregarding this very obvious fact for one's own entertainment, or a desperate need of friends and belonging, or even possibly because one wants a small-time gain in what they believe is a new burgeoning media market. This is incredibly short-sighted. It is counterproductive against those who are making a serious effort, and it's personally dangerous to those that act in ignorance of this. And I just want to stress, as I've said time and again, never let an individual or group convince you that you must be engaged.
Yes.
To be out of the loop and focusing on you and your own is not morally inferior to being an activist. If anything, it's the other way around. So if we recognise that democracy, consensus, and ideas of civic engagement in our time is not only false, but evil, why be a part of the ritual?
It's just, do something. Why isn't anyone doing it? It's this hot, it's this...
Because we can't do something. Yeah, what's his face? The Greek guy that gets pecked to death on the rock every morning, and then he wakes up the next day and his guts have all healed and he gets pecked. That's you. You're shouting at him and telling him, do something. He can't. He's chained to a rock and he's getting pecked to death. You've basically got to hope to God or some other higher power that somebody lets you free, or... you might just be allowed to die
also,
in peace.
If everything is top down and the way people vote doesn't make a blind bit of difference, then what obligation can you put on people? They have no power. They have no ability to change things unless organised.
And as we've covered, being a whole cloth political actor with this intent in mind, it's not fun.
No.
It's something that you have to commit to, and it's just... it's beyond the lifestyle choice. I think it's almost the equivalent of committing yourself to some sort of monastery or some sort of monastic order. You become part of a cult.
Again, though, the issue is that people put guilt on others within the confines of their own mind. That you, who are blameless because you are subject to power, need to stand up and do something, in quotes. And we've beat this drum a few times, but I cannot fathom the mindset to say that.
No.
That is absolutely, to me, insane. It is a form of insanity. It is a symptom of somebody who cannot filter the world correctly.
I mean, to
turn around to, you know, the man who can't pay his mortgage and go, why aren't you saving Britain? Why aren't you saving Britain, Mr. Struggling Mechanic? Why aren't you saving Britain, Mr. You know, lorry driver who works 60 hours a week?
And it's such boomerism as well. It reminds me of the posters.
I know you can't see your kids this month, but you need to save Britain. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like awful, these awful, spiteful, online, hyper-real, LARPing, just the worst... just out of touch, upper middle class people you can imagine who are just sat there, do something.
No.
What are people supposed to do? It's top down, idiot. How can you blame people for being shit on from a great height?
Yes, and I will say, I think it's slightly clumsy of a way to word it, but there has always been the option of, you ride the tiger. You be that individual who is still strident about their ideas, who is still, you know, consider themselves whole cloth, differentiated from modern society, and like, you know, as it says, you ride this tiger and you take on the danger of that. But you don't have to ride the tiger. I think you can just open the door and walk out the room.
Yeah.
And that's really what I think we're discussing here, is that you can take all the different little bits of political clutter that exist in your life that you know yourself and you think about it deep down are not going to go anywhere. Declutter. Or if need be, if there's that much of it there, walk out the room.
It's one of our mantras.
You can just leave.
Deglobalize your mind.
Yes.
Do not let people globalize your mind. Do not sit there in fear about Iran or Ukraine or what's going on in America or in many cases, even what's going on in Whitehall. It is this awful thing that online politics does to people. Is, again, it allows them to subsume themselves in something that isn't their own life. It allows them to subsume themselves in this fear and this idea that they are part of something that is making a difference, but they aren't. But they're under no obligation to be so.
Yes.
And it's this mental prison people exist in, where they think they should be doing something and able to do
because
something.
Because all they've been done all day. Every day since they've been a child has been told, you've got to play your part.
You're a civic being. You are a small part of a great machine that makes Britain work. Your voice and your vote matters. And it's just complete lies. But that is the programming people are given. And it's really an issue of, are you able to deprogram yourself of that? Are you able to think, no, I am not able to do anything because I do not have a voice? Because democracy isn't real, and because, you know, my conspiracy is that the people who are in power, and that people who are not in power are subjected to them. And when you put it like that, anyone who would disagree with that is mentally retarded.
I mean, well, let's put it this way. What does the regime do with extremists? It de-radicalizes them.
Yes.
It does not depoliticize them.
No.
And that, I think, is such an important point. We've stressed it before and we'll continue to stress it again. I think one of the most dangerous things we could do to the regime as it stands today is to wholly and utterly disengage. Who is Hope Not Hate going to follow? Whose meetings are they going to, you know, engage in subterfuge with if we all just disappeared off the internet tomorrow?
Well, it's not just that. It's that, well, okay, but the people that they tried to infiltrate weren't really doing anything. They were trying to be with each other
yeah.
and be in each other's lives. And that's what was a giant, big, wet fart. And honestly, I think that's kind of a great thing about it. There's been some judo here where Hope Not Hate has kind of shat all over themselves recently.
Mm.
They went after a bunch of people who weren't doing anything, who people criticised for not doing things, and now they're being criticised for not doing things while being photographed. And I don't get one why you'd get upset with other people over something that doesn't affect you, but also I don't get the mindset that you take all this seriously, that there people within their own minds allow someone like Hope Not Hate to exist. Nothing has happened to us because we featured in that report, but people go, they might report, I might get cancelled, and it's this fear. And there's the other side of that, which is people think they're involved in this hyper-real conflict, and so they get hyper-reality fear. They feel they can't act, when really, if they just looked at their normal lives and what they've been doing in their normal day, they would find things that they could improve on. They would find the ability to network with people. They would find the ability to get more involved in their local community, get more involved with their family. But instead, they sit there paralyzed with hyper-real fear. And that is the other side of the of feeling you have an obligation, is that it paralyzes you.
Yes.
It crushes you. Engaging in this makes you unable to act because you have mentally created a framework where there is this huge galactic battle going on in your own head. But really, what you're doing is you're looking at a screen.
Yes.
People are aware of that when they think they're changing the world via Twitter, right? They are aware that they're looking at a screen. Thank you for the £5 there, RA. Great stream, both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll go over it for emphasis' sake. You should buy the book, but don't be the thin end of someone else's wedge.
Yes, and I think maybe we can differentiate a couple of things here. We can be engaged in a little economy and culture of our own that is the collection of a subset of lifestyles and people who want to live good lives that are essentially overseen and kind of in a certain way kept safe by people who do want to be political actors.
Yes.
And this stuff can get on, but people need to be honest and look at it through this lens. It has to be apparent at some point that the people who have an aesthetic and they maybe run a small business off the back of that aesthetic and they really care about it and they don't want to see it abused, but sometimes those people aren't allowed to speak when the question comes up of, is this person involved in our organisations or not? Is this person going to appear at our events or not? Because that is a different question.
Mm. Yes. You can be involved without being quote-unquote involved. Yes. In fact, you're much better if you're involved without being quote-unquote involved.
If people within the distant right, whatever we call ourselves these days, would actually recognise that everything is top-down, even their own little group, it would work so much bloody better.
$11 cheese, thank you for $5. Voting is like sending letters to Santa as an adult.
Excuse me, no, you're wrong. Santa's actually real.
I've got to say yes.
We are Santa believers.
We are Santa believers here.
I mean, we're literally on the moon with him. Sorry, did I just say that? Oh, no.
We'll never get to smoke with Santa again. not at this rate. We're reaching the logical conclusion as we usually do of what we're saying here. We'll do an extra little shilling and say yes. Again,
if you want a more thorough treatment of some of these principles, please do consider buying book and going to the Whiffling.
But a lot of people have asked us, like, okay, what is your core belief? This is four of them. We could be here all day talking about. We've got our mantras. We've got this, but this really is. If you're going to try and be involved, in quotes, in this, these are your first principles. You need to understand that everything operates top down. And if you can't get your head around that...
Don't. You need to recognise that kayfabe isn't real.
Yes.
That purity spirals are important. That your enemy is not bad because his ideas are bad, but because he is evil and he must be conquered.
Yes.
You must recognise that... It's serious. It's not a matter of life and death for you, but when we look at us, it is.
As a people, yes.
And as a consequence of that, you have to decide whether or not you are willing to take on board that burden. Do not let someone place it upon you and be dragged along into something that's going to be counterproductive and possibly even dangerous to your own person when you might have best otherwise had a passing interest in something as a political hobby, and lived a good life.
Yes. I have nothing else to add. We've got some outro music. If you do like the music, there is a new song in the videos section of the site. It's been a bit of a mixed bag this month, as with everything going on, but thank you. It's been very exciting. We've had a lot of good reactions to everything we've been doing.
It's not just like we've been doing the book. There's also a lot of like strange and abrupt and changing IRL stuff that we have going on. Hopefully, however, at some point that's not too distant away, we might have some sort of word about getting some more in real life stuff going on.
Yeah, it's been a real struggle.
Yeah, until then, we'll carry on doing this. So please, if you've enjoyed the stream,
do interact with the video and stuff and things. Please help
share it and consider buying a book and consider giving us a super chat or whatever if you would like us to carry on doing this.
Okay.
Thank you for everyone that's watched. And we'll see you again.
Bye.
See ya.